If you're ready to live your life with passion, bliss, euphoria, and a freedom you never knew was possible, then this show is for you. Join celebrity host Dame Nicole Brandon, the world's top expert in reaching it all, as she shares her knowledge for unlimited finances, wealth, love, joy, and unbridled living. This is Passionate Living. And now, Dame Nicole Brandon.
Well, hi, it's Dame Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Passionate Living. We have such a special and extraordinary show for you tonight. We are in the holiday season, and I love the fact that this show is in so many countries and so many languages, because this holidays transcends magic. It transcends the possible and the art of the possible, and in the infinite dream and making miracles and magic, and truly everything that you've ever wished for and wanted come true. And today we are talking with a true visionary. Our guest tonight is Sean Hart. And Sean is a director and a filmmaker. And he has an eye and a heart and a spirit and a soul and a vision for making the impossible possible. And I am so grateful that he's with us here this holiday season. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course, it's such a joy to have you. And I guess one of my favorite questions to ask my guests is always the did you know factor. You know, when you were 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 and other little boys wanted to be firemen or president or whatever it was that they wanted to do, you know, baseball players, was there something in you that was creating or designing movies or scenes in your head, or did something happen in your life that all of a sudden this doorway and pathway opened up for you?
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely trace my my dream of becoming a filmmaker back to when I was very, very young. I always had kind of a vivid imagination. Like, I recall when I was about, like, maybe 9 or 10, like, Jurassic Park had just come out, and I saw the film. And I used to run through this beach town up in Ventura with my best friends, and we'd run away from imaginary dinosaurs, and we'd recreate the scenes from the movie. And then eventually my dad bought me a video camera, one of those ones with, like, literally a VHS cassette tape that you would slide into the top. And at, like, 11 and 12 years old, me and a couple of my beach town friends during the summers, we'd make these little films that were largely spoofing off of what we saw in the theaters or recreating stuff or just wild stories on very rudimentary, like, equipment. And it was fun. And sure enough, 20 years later, I feel kind of the same way. Like, I'm still just playing and creating and hanging out with friends.
I love that. I love that you started. I love the fact that you were running from imaginary dinosaurs. I mean, because...
Yeah, Jurassic Park. Literally.
That's so great. And I mean, and you truly have such an unbelievable imagination. I've had the opportunity to work with you and to learn about you and your work and the way that you see things and feel things. And you mentioned that when you were a child, you were making shorts, and that sort of transcended into some of the start of what you were doing here now, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, it started when I was very young. You know, in those alleys of La Conchita, this little beach town in Ventura with a bunch of friends in the summertime. And then in high school, we had a class where you get to make your own, like, little short films, and we made them there. And then in college, it was the same thing. It started to get a little more serious. And then as soon as I got done with college, like, that's all I've been doing for the past 5 years. And I really love every day of what I do. It never feels like work. And I think that's the biggest blessing of all.
That's incredible. And then, so tell me the process. Does it start with the idea? Do you see the entire movie from beginning to end, or do you just say, this would be a great idea for a film?
It's tough to say. Like, I think, honestly, the older I've gotten, the more I've just come to this realization that, like, for a while when I was young, like, I guess my thing was about trying to aspire to some of my, like, mentors and look up to these guys and try to do imitations of stuff that they've done and work through that vein. But then as I got older, I just started to realize that, like, I might find my own stories or things that have happened to me or things that have changed my life to be basic, but there's plenty of people all across the country who didn't grow up in Southern California, in Ventura, in a beach town, who don't know my side of the story. If Martin Scorsese is all about New York and the flavor of Brooklyn and all those films take place in that kind of world, you know, these Italian Americans, mine is just as unique. And that's really all we can be. All we can really do is just be as individual and unique to our own story and tell that story as proudly as we can.
That's such a great answer. I absolutely love that. And I love that this concept of sharing part of you and unveiling part of you and unraveling part of you in the process. I mean, it's really beautiful. And you really have quite a list for such a young man of movies and films that you've worked on. I mean, you've worked as a director, you've worked as a producer, you've worked as an editor, you've worked as an actor. And the movies that you've been directing and creating, the list right now is just astonishing. I'm looking at Victory Boulevard and Del Playa and The One and all of these films that you've worked on. And it's like the ever-ready battery. You never stop. And so are you constantly in dream mode or in vision mode?
Yeah, like, you know, it's one of those things where our job is one where we don't have really a 9-to-5, but we're always kind of working, you know. And a lot of people don't understand that process. You know, a lot of people, they have, like, certain structure. And I think what is the best part about our job and the hardest part about our job is there is no structure. You only have what you make. And so it's up to you to go to the coffee shop to write. It's up for you to study, you know, other films and television and see what else is out there and what's compelling about the current trends in film and TV. And it's up to you to just go out there and get your friends together, even if you don't have a budget or a hell of a lot of backing, to just say, guys, let's just make this happen. Let's just start. And I think that is what I do that, you know, has allowed me to get to where I'm at, you know, still fairly young, is that I just start projects and I don't look back. You know, I don't wait for people to validate me or give me, here, we're going to invest in you. If you build it, they will come, you know, and that's how I operate.
I just absolutely love that you're living your dream. I mean, if everybody can just step onto that, it's like the people mover at the airport and just step on and you just keep moving forward. And there's nothing really you have to do because the gift that you have and the way that you share, and you have an amazing sense as a director. And so what do you see when you look through the lens of your own life into an actor, into an artist, or into a scene?
What was the question? What do I see?
What do you see when you're looking at a scene? Mm-hmm. Are you looking at it from a cinematography angle, or are you looking at it from your heart in the sense of the story?
Well, my background definitely... my father is a director of photography, and he raised me on all of the best movies from very young, the Stanley Kubricks and the Steven Spielberg films and all, like, the classics. And so I definitely have take a lot of pride in cinematography and being able to find shots that are going to be compelling and tell the story and that aren't going to look unprofessional. I'm very strong on the cinematography. I don't like that to be a weakness. But after that, everything is individual. The actors that you come into contact with, they all come from different backgrounds. They have different needs, different processes, different ways of working. Some actors are kind of like athletes, where you can kind of, like, they want to be coached into this performance, and they want to be, like, yelled at, and they want to be, like, you know, motivated, and they want to be, like, impassioned, and then they want to do the scene. And then there's other actors that you they're very fragile. They're like little birds, so you have to be very careful about how you talk to them and how you approach their work, because they could be sensitive. And I mean, what they do is a very sensitive process. I mean, they're exposing themselves in a lot of really uncomfortable situations. Very rarely do people make movies about nice people doing nice things on nice holidays. It's called drama for a reason. So you have to understand they're sensitive for a reason because they have to access that.
That's such a great answer. I love that image. And I know that we're jumping into a break in, you know, just a moment, but I'd love to talk about, you know, some, as you were talking about growing up with your father as the director of photography and being able to see some of the movies, and it's the holiday season. I would love to know what inspired you in the vein of the holidays, if they were holiday movies that swept you away. And I'd also love to talk about, I know this year you sort of had a bang up year with a couple of projects that have just been doing astonishingly well, and would love to, you know, share with people how they can access your work, because you really are, you're so gifted and so talented. So more with Sean Hart when we return here on Passionate Living on our new home and on Times. And it's a great opportunity as we're on break to think about what visions you've had. I love the fact that Sean was saying that some people have to be coached at or yelled at or empowered. And are there people in your life that you need to inspire that way? Or do you have fragile little birds in your life that are very sensitive, that are telling the story of their lives and accessing these emotions? And I know the holidays are always such a tricky time for people. Some people are so excited for the holidays and they're singing and sharing Christmas magic and cheer everywhere or whatever holiday they're celebrating. And other people, as Sean's talking about in film and art, are very vulnerable. So it's the two sides of the coin of the art. And it's always a wonderful thing to think about how we create magic in our own lives and what stories we tell each other and what stories we tell ourselves and how we deal with relationships in life. And I just think filmmaking is just one of the greatest arts that ever existed. So more with Sean Hart when we return here on Passionate Living.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting with your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and tap into that innate potential you have to transform your life and fly high. Please join me, your host Monica Goyal, every Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific. Namaste.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, it's Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living with director and filmmaker Sean Hart, talking about the magic of movie making. And it's just so great to have you here. It truly is.
Thank you.
So, Sean, right before the break, you were talking about how your father was a director of photography and how you grew up with all these great movies. And were there movies that truly inspired you, or was, you know, there's, I was thinking about, it's the holiday season. We had so many great, wonderful holiday movies. Was there any movie that you ever really said, gosh, this is something that you studied over and over and over again, or that you wanted to grow up and make movies that kind of look like that, or created emotion or evoked a vision sort of like that?
I think probably the film and or films that got me like most inspired as a youth, that kind of made me realize that this is what I just want to do for a living and I don't want to have a day job, I just want to make films, I think was probably, I think Citizen Kane. I remember, I mean, here's the unique part about it is, in this little beach town I grew up in, my grandparents have a house right down the street from my dad's. And so they were always really close. And my grandparents always wanted me to come up and watch the classics. So at a very young age, I watched Casablanca. I watched Citizen Kane. I watched all these Hitchcock films, North by Northwest, Vertigo. And I think I fell in love with the medium. You know, I love those old-fashioned movies were really moving. It was just really story-driven, character-driven work. Citizen Kane, it's like gut-wrenching. You know, it's about this guy who had it all, who loses everything, and he has this big, elaborate mansion filled with art pieces and you know, beautiful furniture, and his wife leaves him, and no one loves him, and you know, he dies alone. And I think the thing that really haunts him, even as an old man and on his deathbed, is this snow globe that he had, because it reminded him of when he was a boy sledding on the mountainside in the snow at an old cabin on this sled called Rosebud. I might have like drastically butchered the plot of the film. I haven't seen it in quite a time, but that's, like, it kind of speaks to everything, you know, this, just like in the movie, I mean, the movie is a microcosm for everything, where we have these experiences that, you know, create the fabric of our upbringing that is unique to us, that stays with us, that haunts us, that motivates us, that, you know, keeps us intact. And those stories are what's powerful. And that's what I search for in my medium, is I don't want to make frivolous stories. I don't want to tell stories that are, you know, cheap. I want to tell stories about family, about relationships, about growing up. And I think those are the things that I'm most drawn to, at least artistically.
That's brilliant. I mean, and to be such a young boy, and to be inspired by something and drawn in such a deep level. And, you know, you talk about the classics, and I love the fact that you talk about Citizen Kane and Casablanca and all of these movies. And what do you think it is about movies or film that allow us to watch a movie over and over and over again, as if it's brand new and completely fresh each and every time, and people still cry every time they see this particular scene, or they still laugh at the scene even though they know the joke? And so what do you think it is about our heart or spirit or soul that we're allowed to be thrown into that cycle time and time again?
I think it's just, you know, it's just the relatability that on an animal level, we all relate to those feelings that are evoked. We all have families. We all have, or, you know, we all have relationships, you know, and so when we see something, it subconsciously strikes a parallel to your own life that brings you to this emotional place. It's the reason why we cry at movies. It's the reason why, you know, we fall in love in movies. When you see a great romantic film, you fall in love with the person on the screen because we want, I think, to all be connected. And there's a connectivity between the film medium, the storytelling, and the audience. And that relationship is special, you know, and that's why these films are life-changing. That's why that, you know, they get paid so much money, and that's why that, you know, it's, we need art, and art is, it's not a luxury. It's actually a necessity.
Just so beautiful. It really is. And, I mean, that's such a great line. I'd love to use that as a quote. But it truly, when you look at art, it's a fabulous way to look at it. And I love the fact that you're just so open to different genres and different, the capability of human emotion on all of its levels and all of its relatability. And I know that you've had a really busy, really past 2 or 3 years. And I know that we're going to jump to a break in, you know, about 5 minutes or something, but can you jump in a little bit? Because I'd love to talk about the work that you've currently been doing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess 2013, I DP'd a feature out in Texas, and then I got back and I camera operated on a union feature for Universal with my dad. My dad was the DP. And then right after that, I had some money saved up from working these two projects, and I just called up some of my friends and I said, "Hey guys, I wrote this script. You guys want to start this film? We'll shoot it as like a sizzle. We'll shoot the sizzle to raise money to make the movie." And we started shooting all the best scenes, and we realized after we shot all the best scenes and we're going to edit together, like, guys, we already shot about 40% of the movie. What if we just finished? You know, what's stopping us? Let's just keep shooting. And we did. We didn't look back, and all of a sudden people started getting involved. Investors started seeing the stuff and throwing a little money to keep us afloat. And we made this horror film called Del Playa for very, very, very cheaply. And I'm really proud of it. It's coming out next year. So
that's so,
I guess that's a good place to start.
Exciting. Congratulations. Wow.
That's yes.
So much fun. And talk to me about the horror film genre, because it is such a huge, 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 huge world. I mean, I remember even now, you know, movies like Night of the Living Dead and The Exorcist and Audrey Rose and The Omen and things that really, you know, you can be watching a trailer in a movie theater and you hear people say, "Oh, I want to go see that." And it's a horror film. And so what do you think it is about horror films that draws in so quickly and so deeply? And it's like, it's a must-see. We must go see that movie.
Yeah, someone once described it as something that I found pretty accurate, is that horror films are the most universally relatable film. That it doesn't matter if you're in Japan, Australia, Germany, you know, Europe, South America, Canada, wherever you go, everyone understands there's a really big guy in a mask with a knife, run. And they get it, you know, like it's not something that gets lost in translation. It's very simple. And it's just, I don't know, people enjoy being frightened, I guess. These stories are, I mean, to be honest, and this is, I mean, just, I've seen a few horror films in my day, but horror isn't really probably my strike zone genre. But I think I did it because I had an idea and I wanted to test my limits and test my creativity. And so I tried something that was a little bit challenging for me.
That's great. It's funny that you say that, because I've written 32 books and, you know, television shows and screenplays, and I still love the horror and the mystery genre because I'm a romance writer. So it's something that's not in my well. And so I'm so attracted to everything about it, to the writing, to the idea, to the tension, to the suspense, to the timing. And I learn so much, even how to create in my own wheelhouse by watching horror and then going back to where, you know, I'm comfortable and while my well is deep, but I'm still learning to take pieces of that that have people on the edge of their seat, that have people, you know, completely gripped in the moment and totally present with you from moment to moment as the film or the television show is in process.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's always important that as a filmmaker, an artist, as anything you do in life, you should always be trying to work outside of your comfort zone. As soon as something becomes too formulaic, as soon as you're in a pattern, that's when I become least interested. And so I'm always looking to try something new, you know, do a genre that may frighten me or that I feel inexperienced in. I think that's when you learn the most. It's not when you're, you know, trying to do the same story 18 times.
It's so true. And I love the fact that's what you're started in. And so I know we're going to jump to a break in just a minute, but can somebody see Del Playa, or do they have to wait for it to come out, or is there a way to follow it or link to it?
So Del Playa is with a sales rep. We just had a very successful AFM film market campaign with it. We're currently, you know, doing the negotiation process on deals with various distributors. We haven't settled on one yet. We've gotten offers, and we're just waiting for the sales agent to find the one that he likes best for us. But it will be coming out minimum on a Hulu or Netflix sometime next year. I'm guessing around summer, but if you want to check out the website right now or the trailer, the trailer's on YouTube, Del Playa Film, and the trailer will pop up. It's right on YouTube.
Perfect.
If you'd like to check it out.
That's fantastic. So more with Sean Hart when we return here on Passionate Living on our new home on Times, as it's the holiday season and we're talking about movie magic and visions and making all of dreams come true and putting them out there for everyone to see. And certainly Del Playa is a movie we all should be looking for. And I know, Sean, you're so incredibly gifted and talented that the movie and the cinematography and this is just going to be astonishing. So more with Sean Hart when we return here on Passionate Living.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
I'm Maggie Chula.
And I'm Catherine Glass.
And we're the Psychic Angel Channelers. Join us every week here on Om Times Radio for Angel Talk Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio. every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Well, hi, it's Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living. It's funny, I got to hear one of the ads for Hourglass Bride while we were on break. And Hourglass Bride is actually on Thursdays. It is not on Tuesday. It's Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And Tuesday evenings, I have the Unlimited Life Show, New Medicine, Science, Technology, Alternative Health Healing, Mission to Mars, all of that great stuff. And tonight we are on Passionate Living, How to Lead and Live a Passionate Life. And we are talking with director and filmmaker Sean Hart. And it's he's so talented and so gifted. And I'm so honored. It's such a perfect time with this holiday season to have him on with us. And Sean, I wanted to ask you, I mean, you're a young filmmaker. And do you have any advice for young filmmakers? I mean, how many boys are hoping that, you know, Santa will give them a camera, sort of like your father did, or a way that they can begin their filmmaking career or their photography career? Is there any advice that you would say to somebody that's out there that this is their dream?
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, this is crazy. This is literally the best time in any time in the history of filmmaking to be a young aspiring filmmaker. And the reason being is these cameras and televisions and computers have absolutely revolutionized over the past 10, 15 years. There are small DSLR cameras that I started with back in 2010 that shoot beautiful cinematic film-like movies, and it doesn't cost you anything other than the camera. It shoots digitally. You don't have to buy film. You don't have to expose film. You don't have to cut it together with scissors, you don't have to get it developed. It's amazing. And these computers on Mac, they all come with editing programs. You can edit on your iPhone. Hell, movies are being shot on iPhones. And GoPro cameras are, $300, and they go underwater. They shoot slow motion. You can, throw them off a bridge, and the camera will, survive. It's incredible what kind of tools and assets we have in the year 2015 and beyond. And it's just really exciting, and I think that's why the industry has kind of changed, where everything has gotten a little more aggressive because the competition level is rising. Lots of films are being made. Lots of television content is being created, and it's every day some young person with a great idea who is wet behind the ears creating a project that blows up on YouTube or blows up on Amazon and gets picked up. You can just create now, and it's very inexpensive in the grand scheme of things compared to what it used to cost. And so I guess I would just say, there's plenty of really inexpensive cameras out there that shoot 2K, HD, 4K, slow motion, underwater footage, and they're everywhere. You can go to the Best Buy and your home computer, I guarantee if it's a Mac, it probably has iMovie on it where you can edit your film. So I would just say that it's a good time to be self-taught. It's a good time for information. You can YouTube how to shoot, what's the best lenses. You can YouTube how to edit. I literally taught myself how to edit on YouTube. I would just click how to edit Final Cut, and I watched a 10-minute video. And then I just did what I watched in the video, and then I picked it up, and it was like I had a teacher there with me. And YouTube is like the greatest professor of all, because anything you can think of filmmaking-wise, how to light, how to direct, how to do a dolly shot, how to make a boom pole, anything you could possibly think of is on there. And that's why I think that it's only going to get better from here, that younger and younger, more innovative and more innovative people are just going to be making and creating, and that's where the business is going now.
How inspiring to be able to think that young people today have so much opportunity to be able to see their visions realized. It's
100%.
Really astonishing. I mean, it truly is. And where do you see, I mean, you talk about in 10 years, how far we've come as far as that you don't have to splice or cut film anymore, that you don't need these big cameras and you don't, and all of these things, which are, it's just incredible. Where do you see the future of filmmaking go?
I mean, I think it is always going to be what it always has been. And that is at the end of the day, the essence of the film, what separates the boys from the men is storytelling. And so you have to be a storyteller. And sadly, I think one area that the youth might be falling behind in, where our fathers and grandfathers didn't sort of excelled, is in the reading of stories, in the telling of stories, you know, and just passing down stories from generation to generation. Storytelling is a very, very old art form. And I think that because we have technology now and these cell phones are in our hands and everyone's just so inundated with information and stuff that doesn't matter, like Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all these things and ads and articles, that they get lost in this cacophony of stuff that really doesn't matter. And so we have to find a way to disconnect. We have to find a way to stay involved in our development and constantly be reading, watching, observing, telling, creating. I think that's the only way that we'll be able to continue to excel as artists, as filmmakers, as creative people, as anything really in life.
That's the best answer, Sean, I've ever heard. I mean, that's so true. And when you think about storytellers, back in ancient time, I mean, even primitive man would tell stories. And then you have people that, like Hans Christian Andersen was dyslexic, you know, or Stephen Jay Gould, or all these great people that create all these projects that, but were able to share the art of the story at such a high level that there's stories that we now are recreating minute by minute, second by second, day by day, even today.
Absolutely. I mean, it's with technology, it's a blessing and a curse. We now have the ability to tell our stories at a really high level and showcase our work on the internet and create opportunities that never existed prior in humanity. And the downside is that same blessing is also a curse because we're now so easily distracted by stuff that really isn't progressing us as much as we think it is, or really isn't as important as we think it is. And I would hate to see us all devolve into dumber, less engaging people because we are so consumed by BuzzFeed and Facebook and followers and, you know, all the crap that's kind of just taking up all of our casual time.
It's interesting when you say it's a blessing and a curse, because it really is. And when you know, sometimes you can be in a restaurant or you could be in a mall or you could be outdoors and you see people sitting at tables and they're all texting and nobody's talking to one another. And that art of the story, that sharing of information.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's addictive. And I'm the first to admit it. I get addicted to my phone. I find myself when I wake up, I roll over and just I get lost into it for a little bit. And it's not helpful. If I could find a way to limit my mindless cell phone use to a certain amount, I think I'd be getting a lot more done in my day. I'd be a lot more productive. Because I think eventually we're going to figure this out. There's going to be a scientific study or something's going to come out and be like, oh, cell phone addiction is real, that people aren't just, you know, sitting there, their thumbs, you know, burning holes through their iPhones mindlessly, that it's actually an addiction, like alcohol, like all kinds of other things. People are addicted to mindlessly clicking on their phones and checking their Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, you know, all their emails, you know, stuff instantly. And it's too much. And it is a distraction. You know, and it is addictive.
It is, absolutely. Well, I'm just so grateful for all this information, and I love just your joy. You know, that's the funny thing. I went to the Cannes Film Festival, and then I was at Sundance. And I love being at Cannes because I love being at the south of France, and I love the movie making and the dreaming, and the whole ambiance was incredible for me. And it's truly, you realize it's a business, and it's such a business. And then I went to Sundance, and the joy, people, I mean, celebrities along with the filmmakers, along with, I mean, the joy of making the movies. And that's what I got being at the festival, was not the business, but the joy, the happiness, the elation, the bliss, the enthusiasm, the excitement, almost this incredible surge and urge to be able to share with one another. And I know that you're now in that world of the film festivals and the joy of the movie making. And I think that there's really a grand gift in that.
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of the business, you know, it could be, it's a balance, you know, because it's a learning process. And I'm still very new. I'm figuring all this out as we go along. But when we were making Del Playa, it was absolutely a blast. We would get up, load the truck. It was like a few good friends. They're all my buddies. We would go to a location, no permit, no crew, no anything, and we would just shoot these scenes, and we would just create, and everybody was a friend. It was like, it reminded me of like theater in a way, because everybody was like an ensemble, and everybody was like, oh, one day this actor is like our boom operator, and one day this actor is like our gaffer, and then one day this producer is also, you know, gonna be, you know, holding a bounce card. So it was all very fun. It was a collaborative effort. We all played more different hats, and it was a blast. And I think that's the best part about what we did, is it was literally just a group of friends out there playing and creating, and that's so special.
And I know we're going to break in just a minute, and as you were saying that, I was thinking about how Shakespeare calls them players, and they're called screenplays, and on stage we call them plays, and there really is an element of fun in all that we do in creating this magic to come true. So more with director and filmmaker Sean Hart when we return here on Passionate Living.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience in all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Why, hi, it's Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living with filmmaker and director Sean Hart, talking about movie magic here at this incredible holiday season as we are wrapping up our year, talking about the visions of the future and the hopes for tomorrow, which I absolutely love. So, Sean, what do you think of the rating system, the PG, the R, the...
The rating system. I don't know. I definitely think that our tolerance level for stuff that wasn't prior, like, considered okay to be seen is definitely going up. I know television is really pushing the envelope. There's, like, really graphic nudity and sex in pretty much every network now, except for the major networks, like USA, you know, very racy scenes in USA. Films, I'm not sure. I think that we're always pushing the envelope. And so the films just keep getting more of everything. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but there's definitely a lot more than there used to be in the movies.
That's funny. It's true. More of everything. We all want more of everything. That's Dear Santa. This year, I want more of everything. But I know
exactly. We
should be doing is, you know, sharing and giving. And that's really what the holiday season is about. And Sean, I always love to ask my guests, the show is called Passionate Living. And so what does leading and living a passionate life mean to you?
I think that it's, I mean, it is what it is. I think that, you know, regardless of what your spiritual beliefs are, I think every person understands that as you get to a certain age that, you know, our time on this planet is very short and very finite. And there's lots of really beautiful, intelligent, smart people who have come and gone before us that are no longer here with us. And we only have a very limited amount of time. So you have to live every day like it's your last. Every year, like, this is your only year to make it happen, because we don't know, nothing is for certain. And you have to just understand at the end of the day what's really important and what is really going to change your life. And that is, you know, what you love doing, who you love, your family, and what you believe in. And so I think that is how I try to live my life, because I want to do this for me and I want to make the most out of the limited time I've been given.
Mm. What a glorious answer. I mean, that really is just so perfect. And it's almost like an answer you just want to fall into, or it's like, you know, marinating in a tub or standing under a waterfall. It just feels right. And that was really just exquisite. Thank you so much for that.
Welcome.
Really, really lovely. So nice. And what's the best way, Sean, for people to find you, to hire you as a director, as a filmmaker, you know, to work on their projects?
So we have a website, and it's called belligerentseal.com. And it was a thing we came up with grad school and college. I don't know where it came from. It's a very goofy name, but it's the word belligerent, the animal seal, you know, like a seal on a beach that goes, and it's belligerentseal.com. So that's our website. You can find the horror film we did, Del Ply, on there. You can find the feature I just shot at Paramount with Leah Thompson on there. And, yeah, contact info's in there. And, yeah, thanks for having me. I've had a great time.
Oh, no. I mean, It's so spectacular to have you. It really is. And I know that as we're just wrapping up this show, I would just love your take on, you know, we talk about Christmas magic and that this is the time of year to be able to really, you know, we look at everything that's possible. And for, I mean, as long as I've heard about movies, they always talk about movie magic. You know, not movie making, not movies as a business, you know, the same way you were talking about it as a creative art. And so can you share a little bit about, from your point, movie magic? What makes movie magic? I might have already lost it.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm here.
That's okay.
It's magic, I think, in the sense that if when you're sitting there and you're watching the monitor and you're watching these two actors engage in this fictional story, but what they're bringing is so real and so personal that it moves you and it makes you feel something instinctually on an animal level, I think that is the magic in film, and it's what we strive for in our storytelling. We want to feel truth, and the truth can be abstract. It can be fantastical. It can be scary, but as long as there's a truth and there's something primitive underneath the story that moves you as an audience member or as a creator, then we've done our job. And I think that's what keeps me coming back for more. And I think that's why the art of storytelling will never die.
Well, I so look forward to following you and your career and your films and being part of it. And for anybody out there that wants to be one of Sean's friends and hang out on the set, that just sounds like so much fun. We just got all my friends together. We just went out and made a movie. And it just sounds, it's a dream come true. And the fact that you're so gifted at it. I mean, you really are. I've watched a lot of directors and you have an eye and a heart and a spirit and a soul for filmmaking. And I know for all of you that are listening out there tonight, you want to follow this young man because really his is going to be a career to be reckoned with, because you really do have an incredible eye for what you call, and I know it to be true, as creative art.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you.
Of course. My pleasure. So thank you for being with us. And I know from Sean and myself, we are wishing you all out there a happy holiday season. And
absolutely
magical holiday season and a healthy and a happy new year. And as you were making your resolutions on your New Year's list, more movies. Movies created by Sean Hart would be great to put on your New Year's resolution list.
They'll be coming out next year, so keep an eye out. I appreciate you guys.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. And for all of you listening, please join us on Thursday, not on Tuesday, on Thursday for Hourglass Bride and Everything Relationship at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you would like a copy of tonight's show, and to hear Sean and learn all about his films again, if you've been taking such copious notes, you can just pick up your phone, which we told you not to do, that we want you to spend more time talking to one another, loving one another, and sharing and creating with one another. But when you do happen to pick up your phone, just simply send a text message to 55678. And the message is Nicole, just 55678. The message is Nicole, and you can get a copy of tonight's show or any of our archive shows. And for those of you who have been emailing me like crazy and Facebooking me and instant messaging me and doing all of these things, asking for a copy of the How to Lose Weight During the Holidays, yes, you really can. Just send me an email at Nicole@NicoleBrandonWorldwide.com, and I'm happy to send a copy to you. And because this is the holiday season that all of your wishes and wants and dreams could come true. And Sean, it has been an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to have you on here. And I wish you and your family the happiest of holidays. truly.
Thank you, Nicole. You as well. Happy holidays.
Thank you. And as we wrap up the show, I'm wishing you all the happiest of New Year's. And if you are in another country listening to the show, I know that this has been really tumultuous time in the world. And I am wishing you all peace. I posted something today on my Facebook saying that some people are so poor that all they have is money. And I absolutely love that, because each and every one of you in your own backyard can find somewhere or someone or some place that you can help and assist and give to at this holiday season, whether that's a charity that's feeding homeless or families that are underprivileged or under poverty level, whether it's working with the runaway teen shelter or Wife Battery Safe House or the Ronald McDonald Houses or St. Jude's or Challenge Air, Underground Railroad, which rescues the children that each of us have in our own communities, even in our senior centers, our neighbors, which might be alone at this holiday season, or someone whose husband or wife is away at war, a family member is alone, that we all have the ability to make a difference in someone's life. And as Sean was speaking so eloquently tonight about story, we all have the ability to be in somebody's story, and we all have the ability to change the story of somebody's day and somebody's life simply by contributing and giving to them and sharing our gifts and our heart and our care and our talent and our wisdom and our resources in this world. So wishing you all the heart in which the spirit of the holiday is meant, and that we all share and care for one another in peace and love. I'm wishing you all a very safe holiday and a very, very Merry Christmas. I'm Sharon Hart myself. We are wishing you a passionate and wonderful life.
The future.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Priscilla Huff. The city of San